Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
All right, what's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a platform. So we've got a little bit of off-season news for you. Some preseason rank stuff. Brissett, obviously, that was the big news. And then, name and likeness stuff. They're trying to bring back college football video games, which would be fantastic. And we're recording in the AM. It's Memorial Day. And yes. We want to thank...
Happy Memorial Day, Sean.
Yeah, you too, buddy. And we want to thank everybody for their service, especially, obviously, those that sacrificed everything.
And Ultimate sacrifice.
Their families... the Gold Star families out there, there is no words that can be said to express the gratitude. And, that's what today is about. It's not about, your hot dog and whatnot. And I know you guys know that. But it is actually Memorial Day. And if you did not notice, Joe didn't even crack a beer. It's because it is still AM. It is still AM. And I was wondering, is the beer going to crack? And the answer is no.
No. Sorry.
Okay, I'm proud of you, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. 11 o'clock in the morning, I could barely contain myself, but...
I know. It's getting close to noon. You must be, jumping out of your skin right now. I know you were probably up late watching Martin Truex Jr. win the Coca-Cola 600, so...
Yeah, I stayed up and watched it, yeah.
It was pretty awesome. So
had some adult beverages during that.
So. Yes, of course. We want to get into all this stuff with you, and we are going to do that. But first, I want to tell you about SeatGeek. Listen, you need tickets to stuff, go to SeatGeek. You have nothing to lose by going to SeatGeek. You go there, they actually do the shopping for you. It scans the webs for the best deal on whatever ticket you're looking for, whether it be a game or a concert, and it rates them for you on a scale from 0 to 10, and it lets you know if you're getting the best bang for your buck by marking these deals. Not only ranking them, but marking them with a green dot. That's a good deal. That's one of the best deals on the internet you're going to find. The yellow dot is mediocre, and the red dots, well, those deals, they suck. So if you want to get in on some of the action, you can get $20 off your first purchase if you use the promo code ACAA at checkout. And, you can save $22. So Armchair All-Americans, ACAA, at checkout. Get that $20 off your first purchase. SeatGeek, life's an event, and we have the tickets. So, let's get started.
Yes,
now,
sir.
Now, we had some preseason rank things. Athlon Sports came out with theirs. First, especially those in Syracuse.
Yeah.
The athletic director and others around the Syracuse area are urging everybody to call and contact their cable providers to express your how delighted you would be if Spectrum especially would carry the ACC network. That's going to launch this summer, and you're going to need it. I don't know, there's so much politicking that goes on, and I've heard some horror stories about Spectrum and up there. And it just makes no sense for them not to carry the ACC network.
Right.
But, apparently they're not on board yet. So,
it's got to be worth it for them.
Yeah, of course. But, you'll be streaming a lot of the games if you don't. So yeah, and we all know how that goes.
That's so true. Spectrum is their major cable market up there. And in Syracuse.com's article, with John Wildhack, you know, from him being executive at ESPN, he's seen this before, and he's seen this kind of battle. So he kind of knows that as long as the pressure gets put on the cable companies, that at some point, even if it's, you know, the end of the day, 24th hour, whatever, that usually they make a negotiation. So, but yeah, the public and the fans, if you want part of this, who knows how many games we're going to be on there, if it's going to be a streaming, you know, to where we could watch every game. But if it's another option where we could possibly be playing and you can, you know, get it on Spectrum. So I'm going to have the same problem down here. I have Spectrum down in Raleigh. So,
well,
same issue.
I have them. Yeah. I have direct.
Well, you don't have to worry about it, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know, but, I will find out, though. Obviously, if you have DirecTV like I do, you'll want to find out. If you live, you know, out of Syracuse, you're going to want to find out. I would get on it and, you know, call. It doesn't take nothing to send an email. 5 minutes.
Right.
So, anyway, or you can call. But that is that. Athlon's preseason football rankings. Now, you know, it's one thing, like, with basketball. I don't pay too much attention to the rankings, especially in the beginning of the year with basketball. In fact, I kind of don't like being ranked sometimes. I feel like it's a bad omen sometimes. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Seems like that sometimes, yeah.
So, but with football, it's totally different. And yeah. you've really got to start ranked to have a shot, you know, going into the end of the year. So, I mean, that's what it's all about. It's not a big tournament. It's four teams. So,
yeah. Yeah, it takes a lot. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. As far as basketball goes, we know that you can not be ranked the whole season and still make the tournament. So, you know, and more teams make it, and again, like in football, you jump out of the top 10, you know, jump out of the, you know, the college football playoff team, the four teams that play in that, and then maybe the, you know, the New Year's Day bowls, and pretty much they come down to not really being that important to the rest of the country. So
yeah, with a chance to play Clemson every year,
right?
You know, you've got to start preseason ranked, and you know.
No, I mean, there's chances when you're on the outside. I mean, especially if you're a Power 5 team. I think if you're a non-Power 5 team that wants to try to get in a playoff, then you definitely have to start ranked up there, because it takes a little while, especially with the competition that you play, to move up. But someone like a Power 5 team, if you keep winning, even if you start out, you know, not ranked, it might take a little bit longer. But yeah, it's like you said, it's definitely a different feeling when you're preseason ranked in football compared to basketball, without a doubt.
And with the non-conference schedule Syracuse has this year, you know, they got a chance to start off, you know, really ripping, you know, and start off 4-0, you know. And so
yeah, well, expectations are going to be high.
Oh, I know.
So,
I know.
And we have Clemson squeezed in between our four non-conference
games.
Oh,
that's right.
So, but yeah. Either way, like you said, it's a more easy, maneuverable schedule, if you will. Our away games in the ACC don't really look that bad, and our non-conference schedule is not that bad. We're not playing a Notre Dame or a college playoff type caliber team. We'll get Pittsburgh in the dome. We get Clemson in the dome. So not only Athlon, but even other, you know, Barstool, Sporting News, ESPN, everything. I think Mike McAllister article on 247 Sports. It might not be him, but and it's basically all of, you know, the predictions, preseason stuff from all these different media outlets. And we've been getting nothing but hype. I think if you look at chances as far as like winning the ACC and possibly doing well, or a sleeper, a college football sleeper, it's usually, you know, people have been mentioning Clemson and then us. So the expectations in the media are starting to get high. With 10 wins last year, then getting preseason ranked, the expectations from the fans are going to be just ginormous. So that makes me a little makes me a little nervous, my bud.
Yeah, well, they gave us, they put us in at 21st, Athlon did, and they did dive a little bit. They give Tommy DeVito, you know, coming off as a 4-star prospect out of high school. He played in 8 games last fall. They mentioned Mo Neal and the Oklahoma transfer Abdul Adams will be good. And then you got Sean Riley, Nakeem Johnson, Tristan Jackson. I mean, that's a hell of a receiving core right there.
Well, yeah. It's arguably our best running backs and receivers group since Babers has been, well, for a long time. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, and I mean, as we know, the big question mark is the offensive line. You got two starters returning, and you've got the South Alabama transfer, Ryan Alexander. So, and then as far as defense goes, defense was impressive last year as well, and only on the rise, minus the linebacker core. But you got Alton Robertson, Kendall Coleman. They're coming back. 20 sacks between them both last fall. Yeah. So, and you know.
No, I believe in the depth, man. I believe in the depth that we have. And really the only my biggest concern, like I talked about and we've talked about before, is just, I mean, the defensive line. I don't think it's as deep and experienced as we might need it to be. We do have really good defensive ends, though. And if we can stay healthy there, then it could help. But I think we're going to be able to. I think our linebackers are going to get a little bit better, and they'll improve just kind of like what Guthrie and Keelan Wittner did. So, again, I see why the expectation's there. I see why people see that. But at the end of the day, I think it's going to be Tommy DeVito.
Well, it's got to be, right? I mean, you've got those receivers. You have all the tools. You've got to use them. You got to be you know, you got to take advantage of that while you got it, man, because that's going to be awesome. And then, you know, and Andre Sisco, too, back.
Secondary should be really, really well.
Yeah.
I think DeVito has to play within himself. Like, just not try to do too much, you know. Like, Dungy, it felt for the longest time that he just always had to do so much because of the people. You know, he had some good players around him, but not like what we have now. So, you know, if DeVito can just, you know, if they can't, you know, use the running game, you know, use the power running game, play action, kind of protect him, depending on, you know, what your offensive line looks like. And with the players that he has, I mean, as long as he doesn't try to do too much, you know, he's got players around him now where he doesn't have to do everything. Just, you know, manage the game. Don't make mistakes. Play within yourself. I mean, you're still a sophomore. You got plenty of years to be that superstar.
And he saw action last year, and you know, so
yeah, 8 games is a decent amount. Yeah, I mean, he saw action in half the games. So in some games, he looked good, and in some games he didn't look so good. But we got the best of both worlds as far as what he's done. I mean, when you look at Notre Dame and then like what he did at North Carolina, I mean, we don't win that game at North Carolina without him. So he legitimately won a game for us.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yep. So, anyways, that's that. Now, the biggest news, of course, since we've been gone, I guess, was the Brissett news and him just going out and balling at the combine. And you're like, and I know every Syracuse fan is sitting here going, well, where was this? where was this last season? Right? I mean, he did quietly average like 12 points a game, like 12 points a game and like 8 rebounds or something like that. Or not 8.
Right.
It wasn't 8. It wasn't 8. It was like 4 or something, right? So, but which is quiet, but you know, it was because he had his moments where he was really, really good. And then he just had his moments where he was just not, you know, going 3 for 10 from behind the arc. So, anyway, he's going to stay in the draft. And I mean, technically, being today is the 27th, technically he's got 2 more days. But, you know, there just isn't enough mock draft boards that have been out since the combine stuff.
Right.
To really say where he is, but I guess he feels confident, and there's been some insiders, and I've read a couple things saying that he's projected in the first round now. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of up in the air, technically 2 days, but I mean, Joe, what do you think? I mean, he's gone. right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he most likely is. I, depending on what kind of news he gets, and he probably this whole last week and probably the next couple of days, he's probably going to do some team workouts and some interviews. But he is probably pretty much good as gone. Usually what happens, especially when you play that like that, you know, and he heard some positive things, there's probably a couple teams that are out there saying, you know, we're going to take him if he gets there. We're going to take him if he gets there. But again, that's all contingent on who's there. When, you know, some teams just assume some other players are going to be there and everyone's got their draft boards and the players they like and who's in front of who. So they want all their options to be on the table. So sadly, that's one of those things where you just got to hope that possibly the draft goes the way that these teams that like you think that it's going to go, because sometimes that happens where they'll play, they'll tell agents, you know, there's probably a couple teams telling his agent that, or telling him that if you're there, then we're going to get you. And yeah, that they like right. his potential because of, you know, his body, his athletic ability, as far as that size, ready to go. They saw that he could play some defense, and like you said, he did play really well. So I'd be willing to bet there's probably a team out there with a need for somebody like him and likes his potential and is telling him that they're going to take him. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right. Right. I mean, absolutely. But there is a glimmer. There's a glimmer of hope. Now, we asked you what y'all thought on social media about whether this was going to be a positive effect, a negative effect on next year. Look, I will say this. I will say this. I don't think it's necessarily negative. The only thing that concerns me about next year's team is how young they are. But you got the Italy trip. Yeah. You got the Italy trip. You get some cohesion there. So we'll see. But there is also a prospect that is going to announce tomorrow, Tuesday, May 28th, on his Twitter page. He's going to disclose where he's going to go to college. And that is 6'8", Woody Newton. He's from Mountain Zion Prep in Maryland, just outside of D.C. And he actually attended the Duke game at the Carrier Dome last February as part of an unofficial visit. So nice. He's been there, and it's been kind of low-key. But he's 6'8", and he's about Brissett's size, and of course I watched his tape, and he's impressive, man. He's impressive. He plays very aggressive, and he can take it to the hole too. And so he'll announce tomorrow. According,
cross our fingers.
Yeah, according to Rivals.com, there's a guy over there named Corey Evans. He posted earlier this month that he's actually projecting Newton to pick SU. So,
nice.
I mean,
this is 2020, right?
Yeah, it's 2020. So, you got a backup. We deal with what we got, but, you know, you have something coming in a little over a year. It's exciting, man. It's exciting. These young guys, yes. I know it's a ways out, but these young guys are, their tapes are just, they're fun to watch. So, anyway, look for that tomorrow on his page. But we asked whether or not what y'all thought about it. So let's do some Twitter. Did you look at any of these, Joe?
I looked at some of them, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start with @DurhamCharlie. He says, negatively, he underperformed most of the year except, oddly, at the draft combine, but he would have been the best player on our team next year with the exception of maybe Hughes. The season coming up might be ugly, like 15 wins and no tourney ugly.
Ooh.
Oh, man, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a point as far as he'd be one of the better players without a doubt.
Well,
he was going to somebody, you know, somebody that we would have looked forward to go get back to his dominating ways as he was as a freshman. I think this past year, I think that there was more shots to go around, you know, Buddy Boeheim, Elijah Hughes. So I think that he had a tough time trying to, you know, just with his role change and how many shots he was getting and stuff like that. So I think that that's why he had some rough games. But, I mean, he secretly still did pretty well. I mean, a lot of people, he just regressed from his freshman year. But when you look at it, he was 6 points away from, what, being the seventh seventh player to get to 1,000 points in 2 years at Syracuse.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he also had the most two-year rebounding total behind, Derek Coleman, I think. So, I mean, between rebounding and points and everything, he's up there with some of the better, you know, double-doubles and those type of guys. So, he just – the expectations were a little bit higher. So, that's why people thought that he played down. Once he got down to the NBA, he started going to those camps and stuff. Man, he must have just – I don't know. Dude, he had 2.9% body fat.
Yeah, I know. I mean, whatever.
That's just – he showed up in really, really good shape. I mean, yeah. It's like – the best number in like a decade.
Really, is it?
Yeah. I read that somewhere. So
at JD's Dad 3, we will be just as bad or good without him. In other words, he was a non-factor. And with I don't know if he was a non-factor, but with the way that he played last year, I mean, people have got a sour taste in their mouth. He plays like that. And then, you know, well, he quietly did pretty decent, but he was just not the same, and like you had just mentioned, and then he goes to the combine and he puts out like that, and as an SU fan, you got to be happy for him. Like I'm so used to this. It's whatever. No, it's whatever.
You don't have to. As an SU fan, obviously you don't have to be.
Well, I get you. It's the right thing.
We celebrate it.
Right, that's true. I mean, I guess.
Not everybody looks at it like that. I mean, there's something about when a player he comes through and he's good, but he never really, like, you don't see his full potential, like, in that uniform. You know, I always compare it to like Duke and Kyrie Irving. You know, Kyrie Irving's a great NBA player. They talk about he's a superstar and everything, but he went to Duke and he was injured for half the season. He came in and I think they ended up losing to like Mercer or Lehigh or something in the first round of the tournament. So they didn't get the best of that player. So, you know, those fans probably weren't very happy with him, and I think that's what it's about with O'Shea Brissett and our fans.
I think O'Shea Brissett and our fans, and it's the way I feel too, so I can relate to it. But there's a part of me that's kind of like, see you later, fine, because I don't feel like he gave his all for that team last year. I don't think he was always being a team player. I think he was played selfishly a lot last year. But with that said, I mean, I wish the guy luck. I mean, you know. I mean, right. I understand the cynicism of the fans. I get it. At Damn Twin, hard to tell at this point, but a whole lot of new starters and new faces. The Italy trip is critical for cohesion. Potential and talent are there, but a really young roster. Happy for O'Shea. Yeah, so that's going to be huge. Obviously, it's Italy. We talked about it last time. It's going to be a big one, the Italy trip. So
yeah, and like I said, I hope that there's going to be a way to stream it, because those aren't even like games that you watch and like hope that, you know, care about if they win. You know, that's more or less just four games, and as a fan, I just want to sit there and watch. I mean, what do we have? Five freshmen, four sophomores, and three juniors, or something like that. Like, yeah. I just want to watch our young team try to figure it out and see who's going to step up and grow on that trip.
At Aaron Matthew, he says his rebounding will be missed a lot. It is a setback, but I think Quincy is the real deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's what we got to hope for, right? So,
Braswell came in some spots last year and played good. I mean, I went to the NC State game that we lost, but Braswell came in and he played great. As far as on the defensive end, plus Guerriere, they talked about him having a chance to, you know, be a starter, even if O'Shea Brissett came back because of Hughes. And I mean, they really look at that guy to be our best player coming in. I mean, he might not be as highest ranked, but, you know, his scouts look at him and everything and how he plays. That's a guy that can definitely come in and make a difference. So, O'Shea just opened the door for him.
Yeah, I mean, and it's next man up, dude. It is what it is. At one Kev Nash with 3.5 new starters, no more blaming Frank or no more hoping for a double-double from O'Shea, no more being bailed out by Tyus. The new season is on the way. Hashtag go Cuse. Yeah, with what we said last year, I mean, how many times did we say, you know, this team, they Tyus was out a couple times, and you had Buddy Boeheim just step up big time. You had this team, wasn't when they weren't relying on Tyus and they played as a team, they were so much better. But when Tyus does so much when he's in there, it's like everybody just backed off. You know, and there's going to be no more of that. I mean, Tyus Battle's going to be gone. So you got to play the cohesion in relying on one another instead of one guy. That could be something that that we see, and that's gonna be a positive thing. It really is.
Yeah. Oh, but we talked about it. It's kind of a different like chapter, especially with O'Shea leaving too. You still got the Dolezal and Sidibe, who's been there for the last couple of years, but the last 2 years, exactly what that comment just said, is basically what it's been. Is 2 years of frustration because you see the talent. You saw our little run that we had in the tournament 2 years ago, and it looked like it was going to get better. And last year, it seemed like we regressed, and it was very frustrating. And again, it was the same. For the past 2 years, it's been that. Like, blame Frank, blame Chukwu, rely on Battle to score. And
hope Brissett shows up.
And hope Brissett shows up. Yeah, basically. So now all that is gone. It leaves a lot of unanswered questions.
It is. It's hard to speculate. It's hard to even say, I think this team's going to be great. I mean, obviously you want to say that as a Syracuse fan, you want to be optimistic, but we just don't know. And that's kind of exciting to me.
Yeah. We have 12 players with Division I scholarships. They're 12 Division I players. It's not like they're, in a Power Five, one of the toughest college basketball conferences, if not the toughest, I will say
I think that these players are slightly, maybe this new incoming class might be slightly underrated.
I can agree with that, but I don't, it's hard to agree with that, not sound biased as a fan.
I know,
but what's interesting, I think, about this is just the difference, because something like that and losing all these players that kind of frustrated us last year, and seeing this influx of youth, like, yes, experience matters, and you want to be able to have the size, and sometimes freshmen don't have the muscle and speed of the game down and stuff, so sometimes that's scary. But
just the learning curve. I mean,
well, yeah, but it's funny because some people, we've heard it this year, some people are so positive about the next chapter, what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then, but then you just heard the other guy that we lost those four, and he thinks we're going to win 15 games. So it's just funny how far off the spectrum our fans go when something like this happens,
Yeah, you get the overly biased or the overly pessimistic. It's just how it is. And we should all be used to this by now. But it's always funny to contrast the two. Connor O'Grady. Really going to miss watching him shoot 3-for-13 every game next season. I sense a little bit of sarcasm there. I enjoy that. I'm with him there on that. I'm with him on that because it was so awful to watch sometimes. And that's what I was talking about. Some of the selfish play, I felt like, he was trying to do too much because he was trying to boost his stock. And I think that that was definitely something that happened. I think that I really do. That's my opinion, though.
I think that you could always make you can make an argument that if you want to see it, then you'll find it. But
yeah, well, I know, but of course, but it's an objective opinion. So I mean,
yeah,
absolutely. Though, if you want to find evidence for something like that, you can, because there's always going to be those games where someone might be trying to do too much. But then you take a look at like Dolezal, who maybe just doesn't do enough sometimes. I mean, he's so you know what I'm saying? It's almost like you're waiting for him to really try to do more. And, at Dynamo Pavel, whatever that is, very worried about rebounding. We can't rebound again, and we're not going to be able to push the pace. Skeptical about moving the ball. JB always has never minded ball stopping. We have too many bean poles and probably will get killed inside on the glass. Well, he recruits bean poles for a reason. There's a reason for that. But, what do you think about being on inside? Now, I mean, Quincy Guerrier, he's what, 6'7",
I think?
6'7", 205. Brissett, or 203, something like that. Brissett's what, 6'8", 210 or something like that? So,
right.
He has a comparable size to Brissett.
Right.
And it's just a matter of the talent. So
well, it's tough because we don't – it's – again, those are just kind of a tough comments because you're saying that and you have no idea what we have incoming as far as we haven't even seen him yet. So he says we can't rebound, but it could be a situation where Sidibe's not even in there. And maybe, like you said, Guerriere is just as good a rebounder. Or they're allowed to move Dolje over to the wing spot on the sides as like a forward spot,
which is what that's his actual position.
Yeah. You wouldn't know it watching the last 2 years, but
I know. Well, they use him where they could.
So, right.
Anthony on Facebook says, "While it definitely hurts losing his experience, I think it can be turned into a positive. There's a lot of fresh young talent coming in, and this will just offer up more minutes to them and the chance to gel." Yeah, we all wanted to see, many of us, I won't say all, but many of us wanted to see more Braswell last year. You know, Carey had some moments where you saw the talent. The pace of the game got to him. I think he was a little flustered, turned the ball over a little bit. But this being them having to step up, sometimes that pressure on these guys is all it takes for them to realize, hey, I'm the one that's being relied on now. Tyus is not here. My team's relying on me. And you just step up to the plate, that's how it goes. College athletes have been
playing. And again too, like you said, people are nervous, but people were, like you said, calling for Braswell, calling for Jalen Carey to get more minutes because they thought that he might be able to help us at the end of the year if Frank Howard wasn't playing very well. Some people, like my father, was calling for Sidibe to get more minutes, so there might not have been too many of those.
There's
one guy
calling for Sidibe to get more minutes, I promise you.
Hey, I'm just saying, that's how much he didn't like Chukwu. He wasn't a fan of Chukwu, and he wanted to see Dolje on the wing. But either way, now these guys get a chance, and with other guys that can come in and play as well and hopefully get a little bit better, or hopefully surprise us and be better than what we think. So, again, it's just an exciting period, but it's also very nerve-wracking as a fan to not know. You'd like to always have, what you're getting back. Okay, well, I can deal with these three guys, these four guys coming back, this is that. Now it's literally like, oh, man, you just have Elijah Hughes and Dolje, and oh, man. So there's a lot of the unknown, and that can be frustrating as a fan.
I know, but, you think about it. You said Elijah Hughes. You got Elijah Hughes, Buddy Boeheim, Sidibe, and Dolje. I mean, those are four guys who have been around, and I feel comfortable. I mean, Buddy with the least experience out of the four. I feel comfortable with that.
Right.
I really do.
But the only thing that makes me nervous about what you just said is I didn't hear a point guard. So,
that's true. Well, Carey. I guess Carey's going to be the point.
Great.
So,
if that'd be a great team if you started the ball at half court, didn't have to get it up the court.
But well, I think
the pressing
Carey,
team.
I know. I feel you. But I don't. Carey just worries me a little bit with his turnovers that he had last year, but
I don't think he played enough to be able for the game to slow down.
Exactly. Like I said, the pace of the game got to him. He was just maybe, maybe he was flustered, but a different situation where he has to be that guy, probably starting the year, and we'll know more after this Italy trip. But he has to be that guy. That pressure sometimes is almost like a relief. It's almost like, okay, I can. I can make mistakes and recover, and we saw that with Frank Howard last year or the year before last technically, but Christopher says it will hurt us on the glass in theory. I don't know how rugged Quincy is, but Dolzai may start and clean up the missing rebounds. I'm hoping to see significant minutes from Braswell this season. He is a silky smooth scorer and isn't afraid to mix it up a little bit. Yeah. I think we're going to see Brett. There's Braswell. I've been wanting to see more of him since before the season started. I was excited about him. And
yeah.
So there was something there. We talked about it. I'm not going to rehash it all, but there was something there that we weren't seeing that coach didn't give him the minutes for some reason. So maybe it was practice. We don't know. But next year is definitely going to be able to step up, and next year he's going to definitely be able to get more minutes, and we're just going to have to see what kind of combination coach comes up with.
Yeah.
And it's
between that Italy trip and the non-conference, there's going to be, I mean, you're going to have your chance to win your spots and win your minutes. And I don't know if there's going to be so much separation within these positions that, you know, if you mess up or if you're not showing up that day, or you just, you know, feel like a little out of it or whatever, you're going to be coming out pretty fast. So I think that competition is going to, you know, it's either going to
competition. It brings out the best in everybody, right? So when you know your playing time's on the line, and you either perform or you sit on the bench, you know, quality cream rises to the top, man.
And hungry players. I mean, they're talking about. I thought I read that Boeheim wants to turn Bryson Gedeon into a point guard. I'm pretty sure Joe Girard's a point guard. Howard Washington, with everything that he's been through, who knows where he's going to be at. So there's going to be some hungry guys in every position, but that's just an example with the point guard position and Jalen Carey, to where if Jalen Carey, he's going to be forced to have to be that player. But if he lets the pressure get to him and he can't slow it down, there's three guys right there waiting for him.
Right. That's it. Thanks for the fan feedback. Fan feedback is brought to us by MyBookie today. Now, if you've never bet online before, maybe you want to do a little bit of research before you go ahead and try it. But if you know what you're getting into, head over to MyBookie. They have in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for all you fantasy guys and gals out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join MyBookie now, and they'll match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000. Use the promo code QS25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code QS25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. At MyBookie, you play, you win, and you get paid. Okay? So go there.
Yep, yep.
Check them out. The last thing I want to talk about is this. The name and likeness stuff for the video game end of it. Now, the lawsuit, we remember the lawsuit was Ed O'Bannon back, what year was that? It was after 2014, right? Because that was the last NCAA football game that came out.
I think it was started before that.
Yeah, it was started before that, but that was the last football game that came out. So anyways, the court ruled that EA Sports had used their likeness without permission, and basically your players looked like them. The height and weight was the same, and the attributes were the same. So
same number,
different name. But, EA Sports, they paid out like some $60 million in settlements after that happened. And, you know, basically what's going on now is, you know, we've heard the term, it'll take an act of Congress. Well, it's literally taking an act of Congress, as legislation was introduced to the House Ways and Means Committee by Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina. Joe, that's up your way there, or down your way. And he says, quote, "I am thankful the NCAA has created a working group to examine my Student Athlete Equality Act and how it will empower college athletes with free market opportunities. While this is encouraging, the NCAA has claimed to study this issue for years. Now they need to act to fix the injustice in their model, protect athletes, and save the college sports we love. The NCAA is profiting off the backs of unpaid labor, and I've felt like maybe it's time where we've reached a place to realize that this is wrong. Student athletes are the only ones in college campus who have to sign over their rights to their image, and 99% of these student athletes will never receive any kind of compensation from a professional sport organization. So you're basically stymieing any type of growth and networking. It just doesn't make any sense." And he says it right there. Right. So basically, you know, let these kids receive a check from EA Sports to be in a video game. What is the big freaking deal? And if basically what would happen is if you're like, you know, I don't want to be in the game and you don't accept the money, then you wouldn't be in the game. But what is the big deal? Who loses in this if they allow them to do that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who loses? Nobody. So what the NCAA has done is they made an announcement this past week that would create a focus group. And, you know, what it would do, it would start a conversation, basically, of college athletes being allowed to benefit off their likeness. And if the focus group basically can bend the NCAA rules a little bit, then that would open the return for the college football games. Now, they also said that they would not, that the NCAA would basically be doing some kind of extra academic stuff for them, that it wouldn't be cash. But, you know, I think it's a good starting point, but, you know, the NCAA, the problem with the NCAA is they have talked a big game for a really long time about doing stuff, and they start these committees and it's such a long process. Like, what are we starting the focus group for? What is the focus group for? You know, I mean, we know what's going on. So, what are we waiting for? What is it? So, anyway.
Yeah, I don't understand it, but
I know.
Especially like with the video game stuff, because again, there's college students that can play instruments or act or do stuff like that, and they can go and they can make money if they're good enough. But, you know, if a video game wants to come and ask, you know, and pay a player to be in a video game, and just because they play football or basketball or something, then all of a sudden it's a problem. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, as far as I can see, it's not that clear, really. But according to ESPN, as far as I could see, the rule changes, like I said, the modifications to the rules would be tethered to education. And like I said, I mean, I think that this is the NCAA missing the mark. I think that...
Oh, 100%.
Right. I mean, I think it opens up the conversation. And basically, what else could you tether to education? I mean, you can say, too, you know, well, they get the scholarship, they get room and board, they get this, they get that. Well, I mean, that's fine. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you can get more,
right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, that's nothing tangible, though. And who cares if Eric Dungy wants to have a mini camp, a quarterback mini camp or something in the summertime for kids?
Right.
If an organization starts a mini camp, like, hey, Eric, we'll pay you this, you know, we'll pay you $2,000, come down for the week, and we'll have a mini camp here in Syracuse for local kids to run drills with you, and, you know. What's the big deal if he goes and makes a couple thousand dollars in?
Hey, let me ask you a question.
In the summertime, what?
So I was thinking about it. What do you think? What if they were to compromise a little bit? And what would you think about something like a college athlete fund, where a college athlete can make this money through outside sources, like you said, but.
But they can't what you touch make, it until after.
But what you make has to go into this account for you, and you can't take any of that until you graduate.
Or you decide to leave college. I would be fine with that. And I think,
because that's also, it's kind of saying like, hey, you know, you can't benefit as far as get the money right now, but you can kind of build it up and have something for when you get out.
A nest egg, because like it was mentioned, 99% of the student athletes will never receive any kind of compensation from a professional sports organization.
Right. So, and I mean, I was reading up on this NCAA thing with Ed O'Bannon and everything, and at the end of the day, EA Sports, because they went after and they made this thing so big that they got, I think, something to where there was so many, I think up to like it was 100,000 athletes involved. And when it came down to it at the end, I mean, whether it was money making for some people that were like starting it, like if Ed O'Bannon was trying to make money off this or whatever, or if they were just trying to bring to light this so that they could change it to try to help student athletes, whatever it may be, I think it's everyone. I think the student athletes that are getting paid out, I think ended up being like $4,000 an athlete. when it was all said and done with all the athletes that were involved. So, I mean, when you're talking about – we're arguing about $4,000. We're arguing about if EA Sports can come to a college athlete and say, hey, man, we'll give you $4,000 when you graduate. You know what I mean? If you let us put you in our game.
Or if you have the trust like you're talking about, what you're essentially talking about would be like a trust. It's some money is there for the athletes when they decide to leave. You know, I mean, it's easy for me to sit here as someone who was not a college athlete and be like, yeah, I'm fine with that. But, you know, at least then they're getting money. And what right is it of the NCAA to own these kids? They make money off these kids' name and likeness. What? You know what I'm saying? No, the kids got to sign their freaking life away to the NCAA. But, you know, EA Sports makes a video game and you know, and yeah. I realized that, you know, I guess that's not fair either. I guess. I mean,
no, I mean, you can argue certain things, but at the end of the day, when you play collegiate sports, I mean, you sign that contract.
I know. And that's,
you know, it's the same thing with like, you know, the military. Once you sign that contract, you kind of know what you're in for.
Absolutely.
So these kids are signing this knowing this.
I know that. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying they have no choice.
Not saying that it's fair.
Right. They have no
choice. Not saying that it's fair.
You got to play by the NCAA's rules, period, to play in the NCAA.
Or you don't play.
Or you don't play.
Or you don't get any visibility. You're Darius Baisley.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, the kids now, of course, they're going to sign that. That doesn't mean it's right. You know?
It's true.
It doesn't mean it's right. So, according to a report by 247 Sports, EA Sports was willing to pay the athletes a sum in the past before all this happened, and the NCAA wouldn't allow it. They would still be willing to do that because the game, especially the football game, obviously, is really popular. And I still have I have a PlayStation 3 that I still play 2014 on because it's the only way for me to play that game. It's the only game I play in the PlayStation 3. I bought a PlayStation 3 specifically for that. And, you know, so anyway, look, is there some selfish motives here by me hoping that they get to do this? Absolutely. But I'll tell you what, I've always been an advocate of it, for one. For two, I don't even care if I get the game. Just let these kids, like I said, why can't they start an eBay page and sign autographs, sell them for $20 pop. What is the harm in that? There is no harm in that. That's the answer. So anyway, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Anything else, Joe? No, I think that's it.
No, sir.
I don't have anything else written down anyway. But
it's time to hit the grill and it's beer 30.
It's beer 30. What time is it? It's beer 30 for you.
Still
a little early for me, buddy. All right, so we're going to end the show fitting for Memorial Day. Listen, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for participating in fan feedback. Thanks to Armchair All-American, SeatGeek, my bookie, James on guitar. We appreciate it. Trying to keep the the show as relevant as possible throughout the off season. So try to do a little here, a little there. And this episode was actually quite a bit longer than I thought it would be. So, that's good. Enjoy it. I hope everybody, has a good, holiday weekend, and remember why we celebrate this weekend. So for all of those who gave all and their families, thank you. So for Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
See.
Driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.